ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Mr. President, this is your prize. This is your Peace Prize. There is also a beautiful medal for you that you can wear everywhere you want to go.
I'm going to wear it right now.
Okay, fantastic. Excellent.
That is Gianni Infantino, the boss of FIFA, presenting Donald Trump with a Peace Prize at the World Cup draw in the USA over the weekend. You feel like it's going to be that kind of tournament. The American president is going to be omnipresent in an event co-hosted by the US, Mexico and Canada. And guess what? America has drawn the Socceroos. The Tony Popovich-led Australia is going to be at the centre of the host nation's campaign at the FIFA World Cup. It doesn't get any bigger than that. Today we're analysing the Socceroos group and understanding the unusual tournament backdrop of Trump's America with Craig Foster. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Craig Foster is a former Socceroo and broadcaster. He's covered a number of World Cups. He's also a human rights advocate with a deep body of work in that space. Craig, we'll start with the football. The Socceroos drawing Paraguay, the United States, and one of either Turkey, Kosovo, Slovakia, or Romania. What was your gut reaction to seeing Australia in this group? Group of life, group of death? How do you see it?
Yeah, it's a bit of both in the sense that it's a very even group, so there's not much disparity or dispersion between the rankings of all of the group. In fact, Australia might be certainly one of the lowest, if not the lowest, that ranked at 25, 26. So what that means is extremely even, a game incredibly difficult, and every goal, every moment, right to the last game is going to be fundamental to trying to get through, that's for sure.
I think we got a tough group, but also a group that, you know, we can be optimistic that we have a chance to go through, and, you know, I think we can go away satisfied with the group that we have, as difficult as it is, but also knowing that, you know, will be very difficult for our opponents when they play us.
We have missed what you would call the giant team. So, you know, France, we had twice in the last two World Cups. Germany back in 2010, who thrashed us. You know, we had Brazil in 06. And even back in 1974, the Socceroos had West Germany and East Germany, the hosts. So what that means is USA is the big one in our group, really. They're ranked only 14th, quite strong. We played against them only a couple of months ago, which I think will give us confidence. We know what they offer. So there's a lot of positives. I think there's a marvellous opportunity for us to get out of the group. But the problem with this group is it's so even. That's exactly what everyone else is saying.
We did play them just a short time ago, beaten 2-1 in a friendly.
Now, ball over the top. Hadji Wright runs away. Looks to turn inside. Does so and finishes with aplomb. Well, it was all too simple for the US, who retake the lead 5 minutes into the second half.
I do feel like it's a huge positive to draw the US in a tournament they are hosting. I think the Australians might revel in that. As you say, they're well-credentialed. Christian Pulisic is an absolute star, managed by Argentine Mauricio Pochettino. Do you think the Australians will love the fact they are against an enormous team on an enormous stage?
Yeah, it's something that, you know, Australian national teams and athletes always enjoy. There's no doubt about that. You know, the competitiveness between USA and Australia is going to be a theme, you know, for whether it's from the Olympics or everything else that we compete against. That's going to be good. They also, a bit like Uruguay in 2005, you know, these guys came out, their main pundits on TV, you might have seen, and many of your listeners will have seen, that they just kind of said, oh, geez, Australia, oh, fantastic, what a great draw. You know, that's 3 points.
I'm supposed to come on here and say, you know, we respect everybody, and it's a very difficult group and everything. But if you believe in the soccer gods from an American perspective, I love this group. Obviously, I'm sure the Paraguay Federation and the Australian Federation will meet me in the lobby after.
In part because they beat us 2 months ago. But, you know, that's kind of what the Aussies really love. So our players are aware of that already. They've got a long time to percolate on that and to think about it. So it's going to be, you know, an immense occasion for Australian football. And I think the biggest clash of that group for us, for sure. It is eminently winnable. And the reason is that, yes, Pochettino is a fantastic coach and they have an amazing group of young players. USA have been growing in recent years. I mean, their performances in 2022 in Qatar, actually, I thought were magnificent. I think they were at a higher level than they are now, actually. And it's not the finished project. I think Pochettino has struggled in that role a little bit. Now, they've still got 6 months until we get there. That might change. But at the moment, I get a sense that they may actually find the pressure of a home World Cup in a sport that they are not at the top of, which Americans are not used to in most of sports they think they're world champions in, that pressure is going to be unbelievable for this team. And I'm not sure how they're going to deal with it because they are a young group. So I think we play them second in a group, second game. So that first game is going to be critical. If that doesn't go in their favour or they don't play fantastic football or whatever, USA is going to be right on top of them, and that's going to play into Australia's hands. So I think there's a lot of dynamics there that are going to play out, not just before in his preparation of that group, but actually, in the tournament itself.
I think you've hit on something really interesting there. And I think it's kind of the vibe of this whole World Cup draw. There were celebrities like Heidi Klum and Kevin Hart. I mean, the Village People performed YMCA. Shaquille O'Neal, the basketballer, was the man announcing Australia's group allocation. Donald Trump made an interesting comment about Pelé.
I remember, I shouldn't say this because it was a long time ago, but I remember watching Pelé play on a team called the Cosmos. Pelé, who was fantastic, as you know, I assume one of the greats.
It was celebrity filled. It was gaudy. You couldn't look away sort of stuff. I mean, Trump did loom over the whole thing. The low light, I think, was the odd propaganda. You know, the US president given a kind of fabricated peace prize by Gianni Infantino. Yeah. How much more of this tournament might sort of live in the shadow of Trump and be co-opted for him?
Well, all of it. So what's happened is he's basically subsumed the game of football now. He's certainly subsumed FIFA. Infantino is right in his pocket.
And now the 45th and 47th President of the United States, Mr. Donald J. Trump. Mr. President, this way. Oh, this way. Well, you can do what you want.
For anyone to think that they're going to be able to maintain any form of credibility by giving Trump, inverted commas, peace prize, that's just extraordinary.
Beyond awards, Johnny and I were discussing this. We saved millions and millions of lives. I want to thank my family, my great first lady, Melania. You're right here, and thank you very much.
And it's rightly been slammed all around the world. I actually think the football community, which is a billion strong, more or less, should be outraged at it because, it's the people of the world that play the game and who own it. And Infantino standing up there, actually, I was going to say putting the medal on, but Trump eagerly grabbed the medal, put it on himself, true to form. And Infantino saying, on behalf of the football people of the world, well, that's not true. It's not on my behalf. It's not on any behalf of any of the players that I played with, most of the Australian football community, because Trump represents the opposite of what we see the game as being. And that is, the game of the world, the game that everyone plays, the game of low cost, the game of every culture. Of course, as the president of the country hosting the World Cup, of course, he's going to be in all these environments. But for Infantino, the president, to be, so obsequious, it's really been shocking to see. But it is going to be gaudy, the whole World Cup. It's going to be very Trump, and perhaps in a way that's kind of fitting because I think it might be the nadir. And after this World Cup, football is going to have a good rethink about, look, is this really appropriate?
We're used to uncomfortable questions around host nations in maybe the last decade. We had Russia 2018. Qatar in 2022, migrant workers and gay and trans rights were central to that. Do you think football fans are actually going to be engaged with the broader political conversation in the USA or just not so much? Maybe there's a level of fatigue there. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think sport, what happens with the World Cups is as soon as it starts, the emotion is so great and people are so in love with the game, including me, that, it's very difficult to keep those things on the table because as soon as Australia scores a goal, Craig Goodwin scored a goal, in Qatar and all of a sudden the country has gone mad and we're all jumping up and down. That's actually the beauty of sport. It's so incredibly powerful because they know that it engages us in the heart in a way that nothing else does. That's why every time you have a World Cup being lifted, you have all the officials there. And because it's that halo from sport that they want.
And I think you're going to have an event the likes of which maybe the world has never seen based on the enthusiasm that I've seen. I have never seen anything like it. We've had a tremendous relationship, working relationship with Canada. We have our Prime Minister of Canada there, and we have our President of Mexico.
That's why it's important for, you know, for fans who love the game, want to see the game conduct itself in the appropriate way, truly be the game of the world. And that means supporting the world and everyone in it. For us to all be talking about these issues prior to, because we know better than anyone, as soon as the first ball is kicked, it's on for young and old. Once the competition starts, we all go crazy.
Two guys I cannot believe are back, Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. I thought surely the last World Cup was their final World Cup. Surely this is the last time. I feel like it's a bit John Farnham areas. But if they finally depart, is that kind of an end of an era departing with them?
It certainly is, that's for sure. They've dominated the last 15, 16 years of global football. Those two have been on a completely different plane, pushed each other out, you know, into the stratosphere. And we're waiting at the moment for the others to take that mantle. So unless they're cyborgs, which I don't know, in the next 4 years, that's possible the way everything's going, they're not going to make another one. So yes, it is going to be a farewell. They're dealing with it in different ways. The Argentinian team has been built around Messi, and because he can still change a game. He's still, you know, he's so good, even at that age.
Lionel Messi. Messi's here! That's what they came for!
Whereas for Ronaldo, they've had some problems in and out. If you remember the last World Cup, he was benched and so on. And, you know, so there's been some contention around that. So it'll be lovely, you know, to see them on that stage again, even if Cristiano Ronaldo has been, you know, promoting his relationship with Trump, which also hasn't gone down well with many people, whether in Portugal or around the world. So they've been extraordinary. We're waiting for the next group, but it will be nice to see those two, you know, on this grandest of stages for the final time.
I can't wait to get around the football aspect of this tournament, I've got to say. Craig Foster, thanks so much for your time.
No, always a pleasure.
Headlines. Josh Hazlewood won't bowl a ball in the Ashes. Ruled out for the remainder of the series with hamstring and Achilles tendon issues. Coach Andrew McDonald says the quick will now focus on the T20 World Cup in February. Hazlewood turns 35 in Jan, so you wonder how much red ball cricket he has left. Speaking of which, Mitchell Marsh has retired from Sheffield Shield cricket. WA officials confirmed he's done at that level, but noted the cult figure would be open to playing test cricket again. There's been plenty of speculation Marsh could be involved in Australia's Ashes campaign, though that conversation has eased off the back of Australia's big win in Brisbane. Rugby league, where three Tongan team officials are facing 2-year bans from working with NRL clubs after the league's investigation into the Elikatoa incident. Tonga's head doctor, assistant doctor and head trainer have all been issued breach notices by the NRL, proposing that they're all banned from working with any club, team or player in the NRL or rep competitions for no less than 2 years. If you missed it, Katoa suffered multiple head knocks during Tonga's Pacific Championships game against New Zealand, and subsequently suffered seizure activity on the sideline and was taken to hospital where he had surgery on a brain bleed. He has since been ruled out of the 2026 season to aid his recovery. Staying with rugby league, Tigers CEO Shane Richardson has stepped down 18 months into a 4-year deal in charge of the club. That decision comes at a time where there is a prospect of an NRL probe into a conflict of interest between a company Richardson owns with his son that was being used for marketing and branding. He was emphatic the two things are not related.
I'll put my 32 years in the game without a blemish up against any journalist that wants to make sort of half-baked remarks based on a whistleblower all day. I've got no qualms whatsoever and had nothing whatsoever to do with my decision. Not even a sleepless minute.
Richardson is walking away a week after Chairman Barry O'Farrell and three other independent directors were let go. The Winter Olympics are just 2 months away and things are looking up for Australia. Mogul skiers Jacara Anthony and Matt Graham have both claimed gold at the FIS World Cup. Anthony has been making her way back from a broken collarbone. This is her first gold medal since that injury. This is the third time that Australians have claimed the men's and women's gold medals on the same day, and Graham has been part of all three. Crazy. Finally, Alex de Minaur has won his fourth Newcombe medal and third in a row as Australia's top tennis player. Maya Joint finished runner-up. Cruz Hewitt, son of Leighton, claimed the Male Junior Athlete of the Year award, and Emerson Jones grabbed the female equivalent. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to SBS, Paramount Plus and FIFA for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.